Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Clinch Powell, a weekly conversation about the things that matter most in our lives with Stace Cargi and Lindy Turner.
Welcome back to another edition of Dollars and Cents with Clinch Powell. This is our weekly conversation of all things that matter, our families, our finances, our futures. And I am Stace Cargi.
And I'm Lindy Turner.
And this week we are talking insurance with Lee Henry. Lee Henry is with Farm Bureau, so welcome.
Thank you.
Now, I'm just going to start because we have seen a lot of craziness as far as natural disasters, right? I mean, talk about massive wildfires in California that just have decimated. We've had tornadoes. We've had hurricanes. We've had snowstorms and dogs and cats and living together in mass hysteria. And are my rates going up?
Probably yes.
I mean, that's the honest answer, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So how does that work? Do I have to pay for everybody else's mistakes?
Not necessarily. I think inflation's a big part of what's been going on lately, and we're just trying to catch up. And I always have an analogy that I compare with customers of a lot of times if you're going to go put gas in your car, those people can change the inflation rate every night at the gas pump. But your insurance companies, they have to wait 6 months to a full year before we can really implement what inflation really means. So there's been a lot of lag on that coming down the pipeline, and we have to wait before we can really adjust our rates because that's what the contracts are coming up with.
So every 6 months or every year, that's when adjustment will be made. But back to Stace's question, when it comes to Farm Bureau, are your rates affected by the wildfires in California?
Not. We're not affected by any other anything outside of Tennessee personally. I know a lot of in the industry, yes, that is a big effect of and shockwaves will be felt in the industry on that. But for Tennessee Farm Bureau, only disasters and claims that happen in Tennessee will affect rates of Tennessee Farm Bureau.
So part of those rates adjustments will be related to Hurricane Helene, I would say, and some of the things that have happened in Nashville and other areas where we've had real problems in Tennessee.
Yes, that is a very good point, and that was a big sad ordeal, and unfortunately a lot of education was found out about flood and flood insurance being a separate thing other than just on everybody's homeowners insurance policies automatically. And as far as the feeling that it was more heartache than it was anything dealing with that and not being able to help certain situations out, and for especially people not realizing they didn't have flood insurance when that's the disaster that happened, and we would rely on like a FEMA or somebody like that, and that's not obviously not just a Farm Bureau thing, that's an industry thing when a natural disaster like that were to happen.
Okay, so I want to make sure I understand what you say is that flood insurance is not part of my regular homeowner's insurance. That would be basically a different policy I would have to take out?
Yes, it would be a whole separate policy. Okay. Some companies do offer for an additional premium where you can get more and also earthquake. Mm-hmm. That's another thing that is not commonly on homeowner's policies. Yeah. But there is additional things you can get, or we can broker through other companies to provide those coverages. But unless you're in a floodplain, for instance, with the flood, those conversations usually don't. Like I can't tell you how many times I've heard, well, I'm on the plateau, I don't need flood insurance. And for those folks, well, I'm in the mountains, I don't really need flood insurance.
Yeah, I was going to say. So what? You know, kind of, do you have any advice for folks that because it may be on their mind and this is, you know, this once in a thousand year flood had happened, and how do I need to be educated on making that decision if I need to even ask about it or consider it?
I think that the most important thing would be to be refer to an expert about that. Talk to your insurance agent and find out what's covered, what's not covered, so you're not caught off guard on that. And Just another sad reality, even when I do quote flood insurance, a lot of times people have sticker shock on that, on how expensive specifically flood insurance actually is, whether you're in a floodplain or not. Obviously, if you're in one, it's more expensive. But that is one of the lines I've quoted. If I quote 100 policies, I might write 20. And that's not a good close ratio for my other lines of business that I quote.
So when I used to live in Seattle, that's kind of where I grew up. And one of the things that was very prevalent is that if you are in certain areas in Seattle, you are in what's called a Lahar zone. And so what a Lahar is if you think back when Mount St. Helens erupted and there was the mud flow that came down, that's the Lahar. So there are areas there where you cannot get insured at all, because you are in this area where Mount Rainier is the huge volcano. If you ever see pictures of Seattle, you see this beautiful mountain. That's Mount Rainier. So this Mount Rainier, it's a matter of when it finally erupts, that projected Lahar is basically going to take out towns. And so I think what you just said, having a conversation with your agent is really important. And I would recommend that at least once a year, because don't I want to make sure that I've got all of my boxes checked, that, you know, that my car insurance is on point, that my life insurance is on point? I mean, should I check it every year, or should I just say, okay, I'm good to go once I do it?
Yeah, so that's definitely part of it. I mean, people are buying insurance for peace of mind. And being able to provide peace of mind for people is what insurance is about, and that's what we're here to do. So if you don't know if something's covered, or whether it is or whether it's not, if you don't have the conversation, you're just hoping that things work out for you. And if a disaster happens, you're also still hoping that works out. But if you do educate yourself, do learn a little bit about how this stuff works, and being able to move directionally, I feel like you can educate yourself. Insurance agents aren't trying to hide this and hide that. I know the reputation sometimes can waver from that, but ultimately, like if we're not always operating in the gray. I mean, sometimes, yes, that is a situation, but if you have a direct question, we should be able to provide a direct answer for you about coverages and what things happen and how that happens, and yes, this is covered, or no, that's not covered.
Okay, so I have a question built on, you know, what Stace said. Here, I've been in my house for 35 years, and we built on probably 20 years ago, I'd say, 15, 20 years ago. And so at that time, you know, our insurance, you know, we had a conversation and it would have changed. I think it's replacement value sort of thing. But what I'm betting is the replacement cost 15 years ago, well, no, not on my betting, I know, would be a fraction of what it would be today. So where am I on the risk continuum there? What should I do if it hadn't really been looked at in 15 years?
So a lot of companies, self-included with Farm Bureau, we throw...
And I do have Farm Bureau.
Well, I appreciate that. What happens, like, on an annual basis when your homeowner's policy renews, there's an inflation period where it comes in, where sometimes we've been in, well, up until like 2020 got here, it's always been 3% that we try to go up. Like, if you have a $100,000 house, we're going to renew your home for $103,000. It's not necessarily a 3% premium increase, but that comes up with trying to keep up with inflation. So since then, since 2020-ish, we have implemented a 10% and a couple 5% inflation, where it was 3. I don't know what we'll get back with, but honestly, that's just to try to get to the consumers seeing, hey, my home value is worth a lot more than what it was. And being frank with you, it probably wasn't enough even 3 years ago, coming up with what's going on with the house and economy.
That's right. I mean, you know, that's part of what we do at Clinch Powell is housing and build housing, whatever. And you're exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and it's very, very, very pending on different policies, whether your home is built in 2015 or 1985. Like those are different valuations, but we try to run a program about every 4 years, and we do a review process to try to keep up that. It's a software program that Farm Bureau purchases, and it's saying, hey, we think this is the range of what this home would cost if it were to burn or get a tornado hit it or something like that, what we're going to have to pay a builder to rebuild this house. So that's, we try to keep up with it, but we don't get to look at it and touch it on every single annual renewal. So I can't say that is done all the time, but that would be where the consumer would come in. And if you did a renovation, if you wanted to add a renovation on, and you were like curious if this is going to make my house value go up and what that's going to do with my insurance prices, then that would be going back to talking with your insurance agent and seeing, what am I covered for? Is there a buffer for this replacement cost? If I am underinsured, is there anything that we can do? Which most companies will have a 20% buffer on top of that. Not every homeowner's policy has that by any means, but a lot of them, when you're considering replacement costs, that's going to be a kind of an industry norm that's going to be there if you needed it, and to build it back in the same way.
Okay. So just making, am I hearing you right that, for example, people like me, we did this renovation 15 years ago. It was looked at specifically for that. But there are some level of automatic increases that happen from time to time anyway from y'all's end. And it's not like I need to go every year and say, is my house insured for enough?
I don't think it's something that you would have to come in necessarily and have a conversation about, but I know insurance companies send out a lot of mail, and so does everybody that's sending a bill to you. And a lot of times those get looked over, but I would say to try to hit on the renewals that come out, to just try to dive in for 5 minutes with maybe you or your spouse, and just ask yourself, am I comfortable with this, say, number on the dwelling price of my home? If something happened, am I comfortable receiving this number here on this piece of paper? And if, honestly, if it's too high or if it's too low, like, that would be a conversation worth having. Sometimes, like, going back to the 5 and 10% inflationary periods where we were going up and down, like I said, sometimes it was too little, and sometimes the customers were like, no, I don't want to pay for this. And that is ultimately creating somebody that we want to provide what we can provide, the best coverage that we can get, that you're happy with, that you're with, and you want to be insured for what you want to be insured for.
So we hear a lot of talk about bundling. Bundle your insurance. Bundle, bundle, bundle. Explain to me, if you would, a little bit about what that really means and what that does to me. If I decide that I want to bundle, what am I even bundling?
So a lot of people will bundle your home and auto insurance. That's the best 1-2 punch for in the insurance industry. We bundle life insurance as well, and ultimately it just provides discounts a lot of times. For example, the life insurance, it's such a small amount of money that a lot of times it will actually reduce your homeowner's or your auto insurance by having it versus not having it. Especially if you're, under 50 years old, I would say that would be a common thing. But it's just something that the insurance companies are wanting to get all your business and put all your faith and peace of mind with one company and have it all under one roof, is what the whole goal is with that.
So one of the things that our clients see is they'll get a lot of mail that talks about, you need this mortgage life insurance. And these mortgage life insurances through these companies are very expensive and really only will pay off the mortgage if something happens to you. Would it not be a better idea then to maybe talk to your insurance company about buying a life insurance policy that you could use for whatever your immediate need is versus maybe something like that, and maybe cheaper?
Yeah, I would absolutely think that would be the majority of the time. That would be how that works. Of course, it would be health dependent, and not everybody can qualify for that, where, you know, everybody will qualify for a mortgage life insurance, but that's also why it's a little bit more expensive than, in a lot of cases, than actually going through the hassle of dealing with a nurse or a saliva test or coming in and just spending a little more time. But ultimately, I think we kind of alluded to this earlier with, if you'll just take a little time, whether you're by yourself when you get your renewals or every year or every 2 years, just sit down with your insurance agent, talk to them, see if there's other either discounts out there or other options. If you'll like tell them what you're paying for with whether it be life insurance or auto insurance, and go just step by step with what's covered, what's not covered, and seeing if there's other avenues that maybe can be generated to help, you know, get the best product for the best price.
Yeah, you know, let's spend a little bit of time talking about auto insurance, because that's the insurance that affects the most people and is really, really, really important.
Yes.
So talk to us a little bit about what the state law is, and then if you need auto insurance, how's the smart way to buy it, and what do you really need to look for and make sure that you're covered, and how might can you save some money if possible? And what are you seeing the market do? Because I believe they're going up quite a bit.
Yes, the market definitely is going up. Again, going back, we got to wait before inflation hits. But ultimately, I just was talking with somebody about this just a minute ago. In my lifetime, I've never experienced used car values going up. I'm used to depreciation, and that also, like here in the last 2 years with cars going up, or even staying the same and not sticking to a depreciation schedule, it's been a very challenging atmosphere in the auto industry with prices going up. So a lot of people, and I'm encouraging a lot of people, are, you know, the prices are going up, but what you can do to alleviate that is raise your deductibles or talk about bundling. But the easiest 1-2 punch on that is definitely talking about those two things. But the deductibles, on raising that, putting a little more skin in the game if you did have a claim, that will be the number one thing that's going to reduce your price.
Not to put you on the spot, and I know there's no specifics, but maybe give us an example. Let's say, I don't know, you know, you got a pickup truck, and what-ish might be the difference between a $500 deductible and a $1,500 deductible.
Okay, yeah.
And
so,
by the way, what is a deductible? We have a lot of young listeners as well.
Yes.
Probably don't even know what that is.
So the deductible is the part where if you have an accident, say if you cause $10,000 worth of damage and you have a $1,000 deductible, your insurance company is going to provide $9,000 there for you. And the skin in the game, if you had that $1,000 claim, you wouldn't really file a claim because you pay the first $1,000. And that's where the deductible comes in. That's what it is that you pay for. One thing a little bit different, a lot of young folks I've seen is actually, I'm spinning into this, on health insurance. A lot of times health insurance is a running deductible throughout the year. On auto and home insurance, it's per incident. And that a lot of young people don't quite grip that until they need it for a second claim within the same year.
So back to the difference in the cost of the insurance from roughly $500 to $1,500 on a car insurance.
Yeah. So I would say if you had a 5-year-old vehicle and you're in your 30s or 40s, if you had a $500 deductible and you were paying $100 a month for your insurance, if you were to go to, say, a $1,000 deductible, you're probably looking in the neighborhood of about $20 a month, less money is what you would
say. So you could actually take that $20, put it into a savings account just in case, to be able to protect that deductible should something happen.
That's a great idea. I've never actually thought of wording it that way. And yeah, we would even sell a product that you could do that with.
Look at that.
Yeah, you sure can.
So talking about deductibles and being mindful of your deductible, I had a situation last year, driving down 40, and a big semi kicked out a rod. I mean, it was a rod. Remember this, Lindy? It was
remember.
A rod. And I'm so blessed that it went through my windshield, but it went low. And after I screamed, I was very lucky that I didn't wreck, but it destroyed my windshield. So the first thing that we did was we called Farm Bureau, because, again, he's my agent, called the agency, and it was on a weekend, and she explained that my deductible was $500. So I started calling around, and I found that to get a windshield, the cheapest and for what I needed, was going to be about $540. So at that point, we chose to just go ahead and pay it out of pocket, since we were going to have to pay the $500 and then spare ourselves a claim that could cause our rates to increase. Am I right in thinking that way?
Yes and no. If you have it's called a comp claim. If something happens that is not your fault, like a hailstorm, stuff or a theft, something like that, that you don't really have much control on, that does not make your insurance go up. It would be, say, if that thing didn't fall out of the was it a tractor trailer you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
If that didn't happen, if it was something that was already like a stump sitting in the road or a tire that had been sitting there and it caused damage to your vehicle, that is considered a collision claim. And yes, those do always make your insurance go up. The comps, the stuff out of your control, they don't make your insurance go up, but it does. They do keep track of them, but until you get about five within 3 years, that's not going to be really relevant. It's not going to raise too many eyebrows, where one collision claim is going to, unless you have accident forgiveness on your policy, which you have to have no accidents within 3 years to qualify for that. But if once you have one collision claim, then you will see that at your renewal, that it will be a different price and it'll be a little bit more.
Now, I know Lindy had a weird situation she was telling me about, so I'm gonna let her talk to you about her tree situation, because that's a really interesting one too.
Yeah, my famous tree. I learned a lot. My house is just on a half acre lot, and it's back off the road, and it's surrounded by somebody else's property, which is all woods. It's beautiful, and I love it, and it's private. However, I loved it less when one of the neighbor's trees fell on my house and onto my roof and damaged my roof. And I called him. He said, oh, dear. So he calls his homeowner's insurance to fix my roof, and to be told that, nope, his homeowner's insurance won't pay for that. I have to file that on my homeowner's insurance, even though it was his tree that fell on my property. So I learned a lesson there, because then it's like, great, now I have a claim. Is that right? Is there any, does that seem right to you?
Yeah, so it's that is a common, very, very common question, and reality of how that when that transpires, we have to cover everybody's trees for the house that it hits, whether it be on your lot or somebody else's lot, or if it came from another state and came down from Kentucky and a tree hit your house, we're paying for that one too. And that's the way that works. However, there is some negligence aspects that you can come in. Say if that tree were dead and it was hanging over your house, and we knew it was coming, and you knew it was coming, and it was a safety issue. And if you inform your neighbor that, hey, this is the tree of concern, you put it in writing, you say, I'm concerned, will you please take this down? I'm worried that it might cause damage to whether it be your garage, your home, or fence, whatever it is. And when you put that in writing, it can provide something where they're now on notice, and they're now could be considered negligent for not taking care of this issue with the tree that's their tree, but you can't do anything with it because it's not yours. And you can inform them that that needs to be taken care of.
I heard you say in writing twice. Mm-hmm. So the in writing is the key point, correct?
Absolutely, it is. And you would want to keep a copy of what you give to them and let them know that this is the point of emphasis. That way, hopefully, if hopefully they'll take care of the tree, right? And if they don't, then you can go back and say, this is what I've provided to them. They are aware, and this was where they were being negligent with their property and not taking care of their own trees. And
yeah, I will say this, and I think my neighbor was as surprised as I was, and I have noticed he's cut down a lot of trees, so I'm pretty sure that his insurance did inform him. Now, you know, if they're dead and they tell you they're concerned about it, you know, then you may have some exposure here. So it's kind of worked out.
Well, good.
So one of the things that we see a lot in our line of business is, of course, homeowners insurance and the bundling, because, you know, that's kind of the space that we're in. I get very concerned when I see a client that is looking for the cheapest insurance, and so they're going online, and it's an XYZ, and I'm like, okay, do you know anything about this company? So one of the things that I really appreciate about Farm Bureau and all the local agencies, I've seen them with several other different agencies here in Crossville, is the fact that when I've had clients, and we've had clients that have had a claim, a significant claim like a fire, that you're able to literally walk into your office. And I've seen this time and time again, not just with Farm Bureau, but, you know, with some of the other local insurances here in town, and to be given a check that day to get them through the weekend, for example, you know, and while the process is going on. And I think that's so important that there's a buyer beware element to insurance, because would you not agree that there's just a lot of maybe companies that aren't so reputable?
Absolutely, I would. And that, honestly, I mean, aside from price, I feel like that's what separates Farm Bureau from a lot of other insurance companies, is the fact that we're right here with you. If a tornado or a situation, an ice storm hits, we're in this here with you. We're going to be here for you. And we set up emergency teams that come out, and we will write checks right there on the spot in a moment of disaster, where sometimes you're on hold with other companies for days and waiting to hear back. And we saw that with Hurricane Helene even. But we're in your community, and we're going to be there, and we're going to try our best to get you taken care of immediately and as quickly as possible. What that kind of looks like, if you have a total house fire, tornado, whatever that case may be, and your house is worth $250,000 and you've got $200,000 of contents, no, we're not writing you a check for $450,000 when you come out that afternoon. But we will write a check that's going to get you where you're going to land on your feet, and then we're going to worry about the litigations to come and try our very best to take care of you up to what our policies were saying that we're going to cover you for. And on top with that buffer that I mentioned there too, that would be considered as well. But yeah, we're just wanting to get you on your feet, and whether you need clothes, a place to stay, we're going to provide both of those things for you.
Immediate needs, it sounds like.
Yes. Yeah. Where other companies, you might be on the phone, sitting in your rubble.
Exactly. So, Lee, we only have a couple more minutes left, but I want to make sure that you also have the chance to talk about other kinds of insurance that Farm Bureau has. I mean, we've talked about, you know, mortgage and auto loans, but you have other coverages that people may need in their life. And what are those?
Yeah, we sell health insurance too in all of our offices. That's a big line that I feel like is probably underutilized. The agent aspect doesn't actually sell the health insurance, but we do have health insurance representatives in all of our offices that are happy to talk with you about those. We have annuity products, several different forms of life insurance, and umbrella policies, and personal liability, and of course your home and auto and farm owners and equipment. We have all those coverages as well, and we try to encompass all those for and meet a lot of different Tennesseans' needs over the state.
So how does someone reach you, Lee?
Usually we try to get an online presence there. We're at the Highway 127 office in Crossville, and the phone number is 931-456-3883.
And the thing about insurance is you never know when you're going to need it, right?
That's right.
So we can all talk from an experience. I think we've all had to use it at some point in our life, and it's such a blessing to know that it is there when you need it. And we appreciate you for coming in today and giving us a little bit of insight and maybe some of the things that we should look forward to. Again, if you want more information, you want to know how to reach Lee, you can call us at 865-274-8598. That's how you reach me, stace@clinchpal.net. And Lee, what's your email?
It's my name. It's lee.henry@fbitn.com.
All right. Thank you again for joining us today. This is Dollars and Cents. We'll see you next week right here on WAEW. Have a great week.
Dollars and Cents with Clinch Powell airs every Sunday beginning at 1:15 right here on WAEW AM.